The part of the chapter that I want to focus on is verse 30, where the Bible reads, "Favor is deceitful and beauty is vain, but a woman that feareth the Lord, she shall be praised." And the title of my sermon this evening is this: Beauty is Vain. Beauty is vain. Now, when we talk about vain or something that's vanity, what do we mean by that? Or what does the Bible mean by that? It means something that's pointless. It means something that has no value, it's useless. In and of itself, it's meaningless. There's no real point to it. And what the Bible emphasizes and teaches here is that a woman's beauty, while in the world today may be seen as the most important attribute she has or something that's really noteworthy, according to the Bible, it has no point. There's no point in being beautiful. In fact, it has no real value to your life. Beauty, and in fact, it says favor is deceitful, meaning a lot of times people that have a lot of physical beauty or they have a lot of natural favor that comes to them could often cause them to stumble or to fall or to be led astray because of their beauty. It could cause them to be very prideful because of their beauty. And really, beauty in and of itself does not have any virtue. There's nothing virtuous about being beautiful necessarily. And when we read this passage of Scripture, and it's a very famous passage of Scripture, there's this one thing that I really thought about that was kind of interesting is this. We have no idea what the virtuous woman looks like. Isn't the Proverbs 31 woman here, the virtuous woman that we're describing here, it's giving all these different attributes about her, but we have no idea what she looks like. She could have been ugly, right? She could be beautiful. It doesn't really matter, because at the end of the day, you really can't affect how good-looking you are. You know, your beauty is just kind of something you're born with. You're either born a certain way or just not. Okay, obviously, you could disfigure yourself, but people that are born, you know, unfortunate looking, there's not really anything you can do about it. And I know they do plastic surgery, but you didn't get better looking, all right, Michael Jackson? But, you know, and some people would say, well, I think that white skin's more beautiful than black skin, okay? And then, you know, Michael Jackson spends millions on changing his skin color. He looks worse. Hey, you are a lot better looking black dude than you are a weird white pedophile Guy Fawkes looking thing or whatever. Like, you know, the way God made you is the best way that you're going to look. You know, you're not going to improve upon God's design for you. But no matter how beautiful or not beautiful you are, it doesn't matter. It's vanity. Yet so many people are chasing after physical beauty today, but the Bible says that beauty is vain. So really when it comes to, you know, what we should be striving for, what we should really be putting our effort and energy in, should not be something that's vain, but rather something of substance. And the latter portion of this verse says that a woman that feareth the Lord, she shall be praised. So from God's perspective, a beautiful woman is not how we look at a woman. It's based on her works. It's based on what she does. Because when we read Proverbs 31, every woman could do this. Every woman could do these things. But you know what? A woman couldn't magically make herself beautiful necessarily from a physical perspective. But you know what? She could be beautiful in God's perspective. And we notice here what? She's working hard. She's doing good under her husband. She's doing good under her children. And you know, a lot of these attributes, I mean, the only physical attributes that I could find, and I tried to research, like read this really carefully, is this. Verse 17, notice this. It says, "And strengtheneth her arms." So you know what? She has strong arms. But you know why she has strong arms? Because she's holding her kids all day and working hard. That's why her arms are so strong. Now, it does talk about her clothing. It says in verse 22, she wears silk and she wears purple. Okay, so apparently she likes purple, you know. And, you know, a lot of women like the color purple. I guess you're like the virtuous woman now, okay? Purple is your favorite color. Congratulations. But, you know, at the end of the day, every person could put on purple, right? She could put on the silk. She could make her own clothing. She could do all these things. And, you know, praise the Lord that we serve a God that no matter where you start in life, you still have the same opportunity to serve God. It's not like, well, I wasn't born beautiful, so I can't be pleasing to God. No, he doesn't care how physically attractive you are. He cares about your heart. He cares about internally what you're like, and he cares about you doing the works of God. And unfortunately, mankind is only obsessed with and concerned with the physical today. They only care about someone's physical beauty. They don't care about what's on the inside or someone's character, But you know what? We should concern ourselves with the things that God is saying have value. Not beauty, because it's vanity. Beauty is vanity. Yet most women today, they're concerned with one thing, and that's their looks. Let's be honest. You know, I looked up some different articles and everything like that. It said that the average woman spends $313 every month on their physical appearance. $313 a month. That is $3,756 a year, or $225,000 a lifetime. Almost $250,000 is spent on the average by the average woman on her appearance. And I mean, look, obviously there's so much stuff, I couldn't even come up with all of it. I was thinking it like there's creams, there's makeup, there's eyeliner, there's makeup remover, because you got to put it on, you got to get it off. There's curling irons, there's straighteners, because you know, you can't be content with any look that you have. There's hairsprays, there's gels, there's conditioners, there's highlights. There's this weird thing called contouring, where they have to like shape all the makeup on the woman's face to have a specific like design and all the different, you know, aspects of how their face is supposed to look. You know, there's highlighting when it comes to makeup. You know, they have to have the exact right, you know, red and yellow and green. I don't know what's going on. You know, there's more than I could ever learn about when it comes to this subject and this topic, and I'm not that interested, frankly speaking. Okay, you go to the mall, and the middle, they have those ones, they have these weird eyebrow things that they're doing. Does anybody know what I'm talking about? They have these, like, it looks like they're using dental floss, and they're, like, doing this weird thing to the person's eyebrows, and they're, like, shaping them. You know, there's certain people, they shave off their eyebrows, and they paint them on. And I'm thinking, like, whatever eyebrows you had were better looking, okay? Just keep the ones that you had. But let's be honest, you know, women are obsessed with their physical looks. And the Bible says that it's vanity. It's meaningless. There's not really any value to it. Now, go if you went to 2 Kings chapter number 9, 2 Kings chapter number 9. Now, I don't want you to misunderstand what I'm saying here. I'm not saying that beauty is sinful. I'm not saying that caring about your appearance is sinful. I'm not even saying if you spend time working on your appearance that it's sinful. But it's vanity. But it's pointless. But it's meaningless. You know, and why would you want to waste so much time, effort, and energy on something that doesn't really matter? And really where it becomes a sin, in my opinion, is when you're taking things that you should be doing and replacing them with vanity. Replacing them with things that don't really end up mattering. That's when it becomes a sin. Just like, hey, is taking a nap sinful? No, but what if I, instead of go to church, take naps? Or instead of going soul winning, I take naps. Well, now all of a sudden it's a sin, not because the nap's so sinful, but because I'm replacing something of value with something that's meaningless, something that's vanity. And you know, there's a lot of women where they're basically all their interest, focus, and attention is on vanity. Well, they need to get their focus on the things of God. And when we look at things like makeup, okay, makeup, in my opinion, is not a sin, because first of all, sin is a transgression of the law. And I don't know where you're going to find a commandment that says you can't put makeup on, okay? But if you're going to study this topic in the Bible, the people that put makeup on, not really your best of the best, okay? Let's look at 2 Kings chapter 9, verse number 30. Let's find someone that put on makeup. And when Jehu was come to Jezreel, Jezebel, oh yeah, I remember her, heard of it, and she painted her face and tired her head and looked out a window. So here's a mention of someone painting her face, you know, putting on the decoration of her face. But Jezebel is one of the worst women in the entire Bible. Okay, now does this prove that it's a sin? No, but it proves that, you know, that's probably not necessarily a good attribute. Why would she care about her physical appearance? Because that's all she's got. Her personality, kind of a downer. All right? But maybe she was a looker. You know, I don't know. But at the end of the day, you know, beauty's vain. It doesn't really matter. And in God's eyes, it doesn't matter if you're, you know, Miss America or Miss Universe. You know what? You might be despicable and abominable and ugly in God's sight, because he judges the heart. He judges what's on the inside, not on the outward appearance. And, you know, in high school, guys, they pretty much only care about one thing, and it's the outward appearance. But shame on them, because that doesn't really matter. It's vanity, too. Go over to Jeremiah chapter 4. Let me show you another example of this. Jeremiah chapter number 4. What's the title of the sermon? Beauty is vain. And honestly, this is my opinion on makeup. It's 100% vanity. Is it sinful? No. Is it, you know, should people do it? Well, it's up to your own discretion. But at the end of the day, you know, I don't want my wife to cover her face with makeup or mask, okay? I like to see her face. I like to see how God made her. And there's nothing that she needs to make up. You know, I like exactly how it is. And it's weird how only one gender wears makeup, right? I mean, how many men in the room wearing makeup? Don't raise your hand. I mean, I have worn it just because whenever I was in high school and you do like a musical or you do like an acting performance, they make all the actors wear stage makeup because with all the bright lights, your face will just be like glowing or whatever. So they'll just put like some kind of a dark line or something on your chin just so you have a separation and everything like that. But you know what? I hated it, all right? And if I could go back, I would say, you know, maybe I just shouldn't even do that. But at the end of the day, I'm not going to go around and put on makeup to try and look, you know, different. You know, you'd put on makeup in a play because you have to be like an old character or something. I had to play the Russian, okay? I had to play the Russian theater guy who was older. So, you know, Vater, where's the Vater? You know, I had to go around and pretend like I'm this Russian guy or whatever. But, you know, women aren't going around in a constant play. So why is it that they're doing this? Well, they're being tricked. They're being deceived by the world into thinking that physical beauty somehow matters. It has some kind of place. And so they feel like they have to make something up or they have to put on a show or they have to pretend to be something that they're not. You know what? I personally think my wife looks the best without any. Now, you know, if you like something different, that's your own prerogative. That's your own family's decision. You do whatever your husband says. But I'm just showing you what the Bible actually says in this. And look what it says in Jeremiah chapter 4. Let's get another mention here. Jeremiah chapter number 4. Look at verse 29. The whole city shall flee for the noise of the horsemen and bowmen. They shall go into thickets and climb up upon the rocks. Every city shall be forsaken, and not a man dwell therein. And when thou art spoiled, what wilt thou do? Though thou closest thyself with crimson, though thou deckest thee with ornaments of gold, though thou rentest thy face with painting, in vain shalt thou make thyself fair. Thy lovers will despise thee. They will seek thy life. Now, what's being communicated in Jeremiah chapter number 4? Well, God is warning the inhabitants of Jerusalem that, hey, you know, whenever you come, whenever the enemies come and you know, leave the city or whatever, even though you decorate yourself and you look really beautiful on the outside, they're still not going to care. No one's going to save you. Your lovers are still going to despise you. It's saying you're decorating yourself in vain. Now, the main context here is the fact that they're so forsaken and they're so despised that no matter how beautiful they look on the outside, they're not going to care. They're not going to really rescue them. But notice the wording that it has here in your King James Bible. It says, though thou rentest thy face with painting. Now, that's a weird phrasing because a rent is like a tear. A rent is like to do some kind of a damage or to try to hurt. Now, it's saying that they're renting their face with painting. Now, the context is to make themselves look better, but it's saying it's like damaging their face or something is basically how the phrase is. And let me tell you this, when you put makeup on, you're damaging your face. And you have to put all these chemicals to take the makeup off. And you know what it causes? It causes all kinds of pimples. And it causes all kinds of other pores to be infected and get all kinds of problems. You know, God didn't make your face to just put a bunch of chemicals on it. He says to wash your face. He doesn't say, you know, necessarily put all this stuff. It's vanity. Now, again, if a woman puts on makeup, that's her own prerogative. You know, people do all kinds of different things. People have, you know, you want to put lipstick or put on blush, that's your own discretion. But what I am saying, it's vain. There's no real point to it. Go over to 1 Timothy chapter number 2. 1 Timothy chapter number 2. And why would I concern myself with something that doesn't really matter? You know, why would I want, you know, what if I spent 3 hours getting dressed every morning? That would be weird. I don't even know what I'd be doing, frankly. But that doesn't really make any sense. You know, it doesn't make any sense for me to just be spending all this time on my physical appearance because, frankly speaking, no one is in this room here because of my physical appearance. You know, no one is just like, I just really like to look at Pastor Shelley while he's preaching. It's just, man, is that a sight. And it's like, it's probably because you can tell I don't spend any time on my appearance. But at the end of the day, that doesn't really matter. You know, it's not something that matters at all. And frankly speaking, you're all going to get old, and it doesn't really matter at that point. You know, you're going to look old, and all old people look about the same. You know, they all got the white hair. They all got the wrinkles. I don't care how much of that anti-aging, anti-wrinkling formula you put on your face. It's going to wrinkle, okay? That's, you know, that's a snake oil salesman that's giving you that stuff. And in fact, the more chemical you put on your face, you're probably getting there sooner. You're probably getting closer to that destination rather than, you know, washing it and just keeping it pure of chemicals. But 1 Timothy chapter number 2, look at verse number 8. I will therefore that men pray everywhere, lifting up holy hands without wrath and doubting. In like manner also that women adorn themselves in modest apparel, with shamefacedness and sobriety, not with broided hair or gold or pearls or costly array, but which becometh women professing godliness with good works. So the Bible's telling us that if a woman wants to be adorned to where God is going to find her beautiful, it's not with the special hair. It's not with all the cool hair, you know, do's and all the special braiding and all the special things that they can do. And there's a lot. It's not putting on gold. It's not the pearls. It's not having really fancy clothing. What is it? It's good works. And again, when we read in Proverbs 31 about this virtuous woman, about the Proverbs 31 woman, about the idyllic woman, it's not emphasizing her do. It's not emphasizing her threads, okay? It's not emphasizing how she's dressed. It's not emphasizing all these things because beauty is vain. It doesn't matter. And frankly speaking, when you come to church, God doesn't care about all the fancy gold and silver and the hairdo and the clothing. He cares about what's inside of your heart. He cares about your character. He cares about the good works that you have. And as much as you care about your physical appearance is how much you should care about how God views you. The question is, how much do you fear God? Because some women would never be caught coming to church dressed in just normal clothes without makeup on and not doing their hair. They would think, like, I could never go out in public like that. But they don't care if internally they're a whore and they're wicked and they don't read the Bible and they're rebellious to their husband. But you know what? That's what God, when God looks at that person, he's like, why are you here? You know, what are you doing? It's backwards. But the question is, where is your fear? Is your fear of man or is your fear of God? And the reality is the woman that fears the Lord, she's more concerned coming to church being right with God than looking pretty for all the men in the room or pretty for all the other women in the room to notice her and think like, oh, she just got that hairdo, girl. Oh, man, look at that. Look at that skirt. Look at that dress. Oh, you looking so fly, you thing. You hot stuff. Did you see that? Oh, everything's just matching so perfect, and you got the matching purse and all the gold and the silver. Like, that doesn't matter. It does not matter. And in fact, it's a trap. It's a trap because it's meaningless, it's pointless, it's vanity. It's never going to do anything for you. It's just a distraction from things that actually matter. You should actually consider how you're dressed according to God, which, according to him, it's with good works. It's not the physical appearance. It's not the clothes that you have on. You know, godliness is good works, not how you look. And it's frustrating because there's so many different things in this world that are focused on only one thing, and that's looks. Fashion show. Do they even care if these women can read or write? Can they even spell? I mean, when you watch the Miss America pageants and stuff, and they have to do some answering of questions, it's a little bit dicey. You know, it's like, just peace for everyone. Could you point to Texas on a map? Is it an only Texas map? Then maybe, you know. It's like they're not being congratulated on how intelligent they are and how articulate they are. It's a show. It's just their looks. And you know what? You shouldn't want this weird trophy wife where you can't even have a conversation with her. No, you should want a woman that fears God. You should want a woman that has good works and isn't going to be so obsessed with their looks. You know, the beauty pageants and all the magazines. And, you know, what does this look like in our current culture? Selfies. Yeah. just the constant need to have a selfie of your on you all the time. It's just like every day, every moment. I mean, there's women that I don't know exactly what they're thinking, but this is what it seems like they do. They wake up in the morning and they obsess over what clothes they're going to wear. And I mean, it's like a couple hours. Like they're trying on different outfits and seeing how it looks, and they do their hair or whatever. And all they're doing is waiting so then they can snap that selfie and put it on Instagram for the morning. And that's all they care about, is just positioning it all right. And usually it's like fake, because they'll take like 20 and they're like, that one's bad, that one's bad, that one. Put this filter on, you know, and do this and do the contouring of the makeup. And then they just put it out there. And it's like, look, it's vain. Why would you want to spend your entire life chasing the wind, doing something that has no value? Look, selfies are vanity. You saying, Pastor Shelley, a selfie is a sin? No, I'm saying it's vain. So I'd rather spend less time on vain things and more time on good things. Now, you know what? Look, me and my wife, when we go on a date, it's an anniversary, we might take a selfie and you might take pictures of your kids. I'm not saying that pictures are sinful here. What I am saying is there are people that are obsessed with themselves and they have to constantly take pictures of themselves every single moment. And look, it's vanity. It's vanity. It has no point. And, you know, it doesn't really matter. Why don't you do your self-examination on how you are doing with the Lord? You know, physical appearance has its place, but the emphasis should be on godliness. You know, I also don't want you to think, well, I can just let myself go now. That's not what I'm teaching. What I am teaching is this, that beauty's vain. You know, the only person you should try to be attractive for is your spouse or your future spouse. So if you're single, hey, you might be kind of constantly working on that, right? But after you get married, you shouldn't be like, all right, good now. But here's the thing. You should dress and appear the way your spouse wants you to. Not the way the world wants you to. Not the way that you think you want to. Not the way you're going to get the most likes on social media or whatever. But rather, you should dress in a way that's pleasing unto your spouse. Not pleasing unto the world. You know, if your husband wants you to dress more modestly, dress modestly. Well, then no one's going to think, you know, and look at me and whatever. It's like, good. You know, I don't want my wife to flaunt her stuff in front of everybody. That's not what I'm looking for. You know, that's for me at home. Okay, that's not for to be put on display. I'm not going to advertise all my goods out there, or I want my spouse to do so, or my children, or my daughter. You really think that I want my daughter to just be going around advertising her body and advertising all these things? You know what kind of guy she's going to attract? A vain, shallow guy that's interested in one thing. You know, I'd rather my wife or my daughters be like a wrapped present, and you want to find out what's on the inside, and that's what really matters. Not going around and flaunting off their bodies to the world today. It's vanity. You know, I'd rather my wife have read the Bible than have a fancy hairdo for the day. If I came home and she's like, man, I spent 5 hours on this hairdo. Isn't it awesome? It's like, I'd rather say, man, I read the entire New Testament. You know, I don't know if that's possible, but I read the book of Matthew, you know. I'd rather that, personally. You know, and again, I like when my wife does her hair. She does a really good job, and she'll do it fancy, and I'm not saying that you can't look attractive, but what I am saying is, why would I want to elevate something that doesn't even matter? Why would I want to elevate something that has no significance? Beauty is vain. Character is something that we should strive for. Character is something that we should look to. Go to 1 Peter chapter number 3. 1 Peter chapter number 3. How do you adorn yourself? Do you adorn yourself physically, or do you adorn yourself spiritually? Do you adorn yourself with character, with good works, doing things that are pleasing in God's sight? Look at 1 Peter chapter 3, verse 1. Likewise, ye wives, be in subjection to your own husbands, that if any obey not the word, they also may without the word be won by the conversation of the wives. While they behold your chaste conversation coupled with fear, whose adorning, let it not be that outward adorning of plaiting the hair and of wearing of gold or of putting on of apparel, but let it be the hidden man of the heart and that which is not corruptible, even the ornament of a meek and quiet spirit, which is in the sight of God of great price. So notice what God's elevating. He's elevating a woman who fears her husband, a woman who obeys her husband, a woman who is doing good works, she's not going around dressed so great, but inwardly is rebellious, inwardly is stubborn, inwardly is loud and not really caring what her husband says, or not really obedient to her husband, or not calling him sir, or not being respectful. Look, I would rather my wife have done zero on her physical appearance when I come home. She's been thinking about me and she's respectful. If she's still in her pajamas, if she still hasn't even done her hair, she's got bedhead. But you know what? She's like, I'm so glad you're here. Here's dinner. Love you, honey. What do you want me to do? Yes, sir. That's way better than her looking so great, just dressed to the nines, and she's got her hair done all special, and she's like, where you been? You know, why don't you take me out? You never take me out. Look how good I look. Take me out now. And it's like, where do you want to go? I don't know. No, seriously, you just said you want to go out. Where do you want to go? I don't know. You know, well, do you want to go to the steakhouse? No. Like, I don't know what you want. I was coming home and I was going to get dinner, you know. Look, at the end of the day, when it comes to a man's opinion, you know, they just want their wives to be obedient. They just want their wives to love and care about them and respect them. They're not looking for a show. They're not looking for these outward things. And look, God isn't either. God says, you know what's great in my sight? A woman who fears the Lord by fearing her husband. You evidence how you fear God by how much you obey your husband. And just as despicable as it would be for me to just start ripping pages out of this King James Bible right now, just ripping one out, would be for a wife to be disrespectful to her husband. If you say, oh, that would offend me. Well, that's how it is when a wife just disrespects her husband, just ripping pages out. Just saying, I don't care, I don't fear the Lord. You know, you show your fear by who you submit to. You know, and that's the same for men at the job. If you aren't respectful to your boss, you aren't respectful to your parents, you aren't respectful to the authorities in your life, you know, it shows you really don't have any fear of God, is what that ultimately shows. And one thing to note about verse number 3 is people that are like Pharisees or like people like Adam Fannin, they like to take weird, you know, extremities in these verses, and they would say, like, you should never wear gold. But if you applied that to this whole verse, it would get weird. Because notice it says putting on of apparel. Obviously, this is not saying you can't put on clothes, okay? Or gold, or even doing your hair. What it's saying is that should not be the emphasis. It's saying that's not what you should really care about. You should care about adorning yourself with good works, okay? Go, if you would, to Proverbs chapter 11. Proverbs chapter number 11. You know, and let me say this. What you call your husband is how you're going to treat him. You know, the tone and the words that you use to talk to your husband, you know, the title or whatever it is, and the way you speak to your husband is how you're going to treat him. It'd be the same when it comes to being a pastor. You know, whenever I was first becoming a pastor, it's really hard for me to want to just say, like, Pastor Jonathan Shelley. I'm just like, hey, I'm Jonathan or whatever. But if I just let everybody just call me just whatever they want, hey, John boy, hey, Johnny dude, hey, Johnny man, hey, J-Dog, you know, or whatever. You know what happened? They'd start treating me like that too. They'd start treating me without respect and with disdain. That's why it's important for me to say, hey, it's Pastor Jonathan Shelley. Just because whenever you say that, you're going to ultimately give that person more respect. Because the way you speak about someone is the way you're going to respect them. And you know, if a wife doesn't show respect to her husband verbally, she's not going to do it in her actions either. So it's important how you speak to people. That's why Sarah, it says, even as Sarah obeyed Abraham, calling him Lord, whose daughters ye are, as long as you do well and are not afraid with any amazement. She called her husband Lord. In our modern vernacular, that would be saying, yes, sir. You know, having respect, having an attitude of adoration or fear towards your spouse. And I'm not saying you have to do that. What I am saying is if you speak to your husband in a respectful way, you'll probably be more respectful towards them. If you speak in a condescending or a negative way, you'll probably be condescending and negative in your actions toward him. And at the end of the day, when it comes to a woman, you can dress up that pig however you want, but if it's a pig, it's a pig. It doesn't matter how much gold you put on it. You know, and the Bible likens this. Look at Proverbs chapter 11, verse 22. As a jewel of gold in a swine's snout, so is a fair woman which is without discretion. You know, the Bible uses the word fair as a synonymous with beauty or beautiful. And so it's saying a beautiful woman. There's a very gorgeous woman, a woman that has is very good looking but doesn't have discretion, is like putting gold on a pig, putting lipstick on that pig. Look, you can dress up a pig all day long. It's a pig. It's gross. No one wants it inside. No one wants to be around it. It's obnoxious. You know, that's what a woman without discretion is like. It's embarrassing. It's annoying. You're like, what is this? You know, why would you have a woman like that around? And you know what? There are women, literally, who they're physically attractive, but their personality is so disgusting that they become instantly unattractive. You know, it's just like, you know, or their voice is annoying, like Fran Drescher or something, you know. It's just like, yeah, I just don't, you know. And at the end of the day, what's discretion? Discretion is holding things in. A woman that just blabs about every single opinion that she has, you know, it doesn't matter how beautiful she is, it starts becoming annoying. It's like, I don't know, Alexandria Ocasio-Cortez. It's like, man, you need to keep that mouth shut. Everything you say just makes you look so stupid. I mean, you're like a literal pig with lipstick on it. That's what the Bible said. The Bible is saying, hey, she's like a pig with gold on it. And I don't care if she's an elected official. I don't care how much gold she puts on or how much fancy clothes. You know what? She's a woman without discretion. And you know what? It's just as ugly as lipstick on a pig. And you know what? We should not desire the physical beauty because it's meaningless. What is this? This is like women who post inappropriate photos of themselves online, flaunting off their nakedness, flaunting off and exposing parts of their body that they shouldn't. It's just like a pig with lipstick on it, you know? Or how about this one? You know, and I'm going to, hey, this is just me preaching what I think, okay? But I just get a little bit annoyed with all the constant harassment of people posting pictures of all the food they made. It's annoying. It's like, okay, what's your job? Okay, your job is to clean the house and to make meals and do whatever. And it's like they have to constantly, hey, I made this meal and I made this meal. Well, what if I did that at my job? Hey, here's Pastor Shelley reading the Bible. I want to take some snapshots. Oh, here's Pastor Shelley writing a sermon. And look, a meal is kind of like the ultimate achievement, right, of what you're doing. What if I, you know, whenever I get my paycheck, I took a picture of it and put it on social media? Wouldn't that be really cool? No, it'd make me look like an idiot, wouldn't it? But at the end of the day, like, who are you making the meal for? The online community? We can't even eat it. Stop making me look at all this good food I can't eat. This should be a rule. If you're going to post really good-looking food, you have to give me some. Then I'll be less angry about it. But at the end of the day, look, what are you doing? What about the women that didn't make this, like, five-star meal that evening? Are you shaming them? What if I got a really big bonus check and I just post, hey, look at this big bonus that I got. What am I doing? I'm kind of, like, shaming all the men that didn't get one. And look, I'm not trying to take that to an extremity because obviously anything positive could have an inverse reaction. But I'm like, what's the goal here? What's the goal of me posting, me doing all these positive things and my job and going around and blowing a trumpet and look at me, woo! You know, let another man praise thee, not thine own mouth. The stranger, not thine own lips. Here's another thing. Let another man post pictures of you and not your own phone, you know. A stranger's phone, and not thine own Instagram account. I'm just trying to help you. Look, beauty's vain at the end of the day, and there's people that just want to put this online persona out there of how beautiful they are and how attractive they are. Why? Because there is women in this world today that their emotional status is tied to their social media account. And the only way they can feel good about themselves is to post some picture of themselves scantily clad, post a picture of the meal that they made, post a picture of them cleaning their house or whatever it is, So then all these women can be like, oh, you're so amazing. Oh, I wish I was such a good cook like you are. And you're just the best wifey ever. And oh man, you're so amazing. And it's like, you know, the only person you should be trying to impress? Your husband and God. And it doesn't, I don't care. I don't care how many likes and thumbs up my wife got on her meals or whatever. I get to eat it. And I'll say thank you afterwards. You know, my wife makes all kinds of incredible meals. You know, our Thanksgiving meal was incredible. She didn't have to go around bragging about it. Look, her rolls are to die for, okay? I love her rolls. She sometimes makes meals for the kids, and she has these, like, cute little trays, and she cuts everything up, and it's, like, diced up perfectly, and it looks like just this most magnificent meal I've ever seen. But she's not going to go around bragging about it. She's not going to go around posting all these pictures of herself doing all these fancy things. Because why? Because she's not trying to impress you. You know, she's trying to impress God and her husband, the only people that matter. And you know what? I don't remember the Proverbs 31 woman taking selfies in the middle of all her works. Well, that's because there wasn't cell phones, Pastor Shelley, but she would totally, I mean, she would have a YouTube account and all these things and just posting all these pictures. It's like, no, she's too busy working. She's too busy trying to impress God. And at the end of the day, you can't impress both. You know what it takes to impress God and not man? Faith. It takes faith. Say, hey, is my day today, am I going to try and impress God or am I going to trust man? Well, here's the thing. Physical beauty can only please man because God's not care, doesn't care about your physical beauty. Beauty's vain. What's the point in that? You know, my wife's also an incredible singer, but she's not going around posting all these little snippets of her singing all day. Because here's the question. If I post these little snippets of me singing, am I really singing to God or am I singing to put something online and get the praise of men? And usually the people that post little snippets of them singing suck at singing, okay? And then people are like, oh, that's so amazing. You should do American Idol. And I'm just thinking like, yeah, to be made fun of. You're like the first round where they make fun of all the people that are tone deaf. You're not the person that's good at singing. But again, what's the purpose? This is my question. When it comes to social media and interaction, when it comes to coming to church, what's the purpose of your actions? Is your purpose to be seen of men? Is your purpose for everybody to look how wonderful you are and all the great things you have going? Or are you there to serve God? Are you there to be pleasing unto the Lord? You know, are you dressing for the women in the room or are you dressing for your husband? Because sometimes they have different opinions of what they want you to dress like, of how they want you to look, of the time and effort they want you to put into it. And I know I'm kind of, you know, picking on the women here. Let's pick on the men for a second. Go to 2 Samuel, all right? 2 Samuel. They got a little bit of heat this morning. Their wives had to tell them how bad the sermon was. 2 Samuel chapter 14. You know, men can do this too. And it is way worse when a man is concerned with beauty than a woman, okay? Because it's natural for a woman. It's just, you know, constantly a threat, or it's constantly the world's pushing this upon them. But men today that obsess with how they look, it's gross, it's effeminate, it's faggoty. You know who really cares about their looks? It's men, faggots. That's why they're so, like, involved in the fashion industry and their hairstylists, you know, or whatever. It's gross. It's disgusting. Look, men should not really care. If you care about your physical appearance, you need to man up, all right? But here's your man that really loves how he looks. 2 Samuel chapter 14, look at verse 25. But in all Israel, there was none to be so much praised as Absalom for his beauty. From the sole of his foot, even to the crown of his head, there was no blemish in him. And when he polled his head, for it was at every year's end that he polled it, because the hair was heavy on him, therefore he polled it, he weighed the hair of his head at 200 shekels after the king's weight. So here's your first Fabio. You know, he's got the long hair, and he's just so good looking or whatever. Only once a year did he actually look like a man when he finally got a haircut. But what kind of a faggoty queer is going to let his hair grow out for a whole year? Can you imagine how long your hair would be? Like a normal dude that lets his hair grow for a whole year. I don't even know how long that is. It's saying it was so much hair, it was 200 shekels after the king's weight. This guy should have gotten a haircut, okay? Now, is it Absalom's fault that he's good-looking? No. But you know what? He really likes himself. He's really obsessed with himself. And you know why? It's because he's attractive. Look at chapter 18. Look at verse 18. Chapter 18. Absalom loves himself. He's obsessed with himself. And he pictures a couple different people in the Bible. One would be the Antichrist. Absalom is an Antichrist. Not only that, the devil. Okay? But look at 2 Samuel chapter 18. Look at verse 18. Now, Absalom in his lifetime had taken and reared up for himself a pillar, which is in the king's dale, for he said, I have no son to keep my name in remembrance. And he called the pillar after his own name, as it is called in this day, Absalom's place. This guy's so obsessed with himself, he had to literally put up a shrine unto himself and call it after himself just because he wants people to remember him. Makes me kind of think of the Antichrist putting up his image and all kinds of other descriptions. You know, I'll admit, in high school, you know, I definitely concerned myself with my looks more than I should have. You know, I cared about how I looked, and I thought that it really mattered. But you know what I should have really been concerned with? Building character. Learning the Bible. Getting skills in order to work hard. Because you know what? Women can look past looks. Hey, if you make good money, they can look really past bad looks, okay? You say, how do you know that? Well, some of you are living proof, okay? But when looks is all that you got, that's what you're going to attract. When looks is all that you have, that's all you're going to attract. Whether it be in a spouse, whether it be in friends, whether it be in any area of your life, you're going to attract shallow, vain-like persons who have no character, no intellect. They themselves, though, are physically attractive as well. This is Hollywood. People with no character, no intellect, nothing to offer, but they all look physically attractive, don't they? There's no benefit in that. And ultimately, the person that's the most attractive creation of God in and of itself is the most wicked of all his creations. Go to Ezekiel chapter 28. Let me prove this to you. Ezekiel 28, beauty is vain. You say, is this sinful? No. But you know what? It's a danger. And if you are ugly, you know, that might be better for you. You don't have to worry about it. You know, if you're a little bit more physically attractive, this might be something you have to worry about, at least think about, and say, you know what? I need to not care about my looks. I need to not allow that to creep up and cause pride in my heart because of my physical appearance, because in God's sight, it's meaningless. There's not going to be like the attractive section in heaven. You know, well, I was attractive, you know. And look, there was plenty of godly people that were attractive. David was attractive. Bathsheba was attractive. Abraham was attractive. Sarah was attractive. Hey, Sarah was one of the most beautiful women on the planet. Yet, when God praises her in 1 Peter chapter number 3, he doesn't mention her physical beauty. He mentions the fact that she called her husband Lord. He mentions the fact of how well she feared her husband. That's what made Sarah attractive in God's sight. Even though in the physical, she was so attractive at 90 years old, guys are trying to get her to marry her. I mean, that's incredible. I don't understand that, all right? Someone ought to explain that to me later. Ezekiel 28, look at verse 12. Son of man, take up a lamentation upon the king of Tyrus and say unto him, thus saith the Lord God, thou sealest up the sum full of wisdom and perfect and beauty. Then you know what he's talking to? The devil. The Bible says that the devil, when created, was perfect in beauty. Oh, I wonder why the most satanic people are concerned with one thing, beauty. Because the devil's obsessed with beauty. The devil's also obsessed with himself. The devil loves himself. The devil just thinks, oh, how great he is. You know, no one can affect how you were created. You are who you are. But you know what? Praise the Lord that beauty's vain, because if you weren't born attractive, you can still be the greatest looking person in God's sight. Because beauty's vain. But the devil, his heart got lifted up. Look at verse 13. Thou hast been in Eden, the garden of God. Every precious stone was thy covering, the sardius, topaz, and the diamond, the beryl, the onyx, and the jasper, the sapphire, the emerald, and the carbuncle, and gold. The workmanship of thy tabrets and of thy pipes was prepared in thee in the day that thou wast created. Thou art the anointed cherub that covereth. And I have set thee so. Thou wast upon the holy mountain of God. Thou hast walked up and down in the midst of the stones of fire. Thou wast perfect in thy ways from the day that thou wast created, till iniquity was found in thee. By the multitude of thy merchandise, they have filled the midst of thee with violence. and thou hast sinned. Therefore I will cast thee as profane out of the mountain of God, and I will destroy thee, O covering cherub, from the midst of the stones of fire. Thine heart was lifted up, notice this, because of thy beauty. Notice beauty was a stumbling block unto the devil. Because he was so beautiful, it caused him to be prideful. It caused him to think that he was better than other people. This is the homecoming king, the homecoming queen, the most attractive, you know, in the class. They just feel like they're better than other people because they're attractive. When physical attraction means nothing. You know, in our world today, it's very hard to look past looks. You don't want to be nice to the ugly duckling. You don't want to be nice to the people that are less fortunate looking. But you know what? In God's sight, he doesn't look on the outward appearance. He looks at the heart. And beauty is vain. And in fact, some of the most wicked, evil people are the most beautiful people on this planet. Often there's a correlation. You want to find the most prideful and most despicable looking people on the inside? Usually they're the most attractive. It's a sad reality. You know, and if you happen to be physically attractive, you need to be careful that you don't get lifted up in pride based on your physical beauty. And unfortunately for the devil, it's all in vain, and it ends up profiting him nothing. What does beauty profit the devil in this case? It doesn't. You know, I believe you should be attractive for your spouse, but you should be more concerned by being adorned with godliness. You know, godliness is profitable unto all things, what the Bible says. Go over to James chapter 1. I'm almost finished. James chapter 1 in your Bible. First Timothy 4 says in verse 8, "For bodily exercise profiteth little, but godliness is profitable unto all things, having the promise of the life that now is and of that which is to come." So the Bible says, look, being healthy, looking healthy, being attractive, you know what? Hey, it has a little profit, but you know what has a lot of profit? Godliness. And at the end of the day, beauty's vain anyways. James chapter number 1, look at verse number 9. Here's the worst thing about beauty, is it will eventually leave you. You will eventually lose it. No matter how beautiful you are, it's eventually going to be completely taken away from you. So it doesn't make any sense to constantly worry about that and care about that, because you're going to eventually lose it. It's going to eventually not be a part of you anymore. James chapter 1, look at verse number 9. "Let the brother of low degree to rejoice in that he's exalted, but the rich in that he's made low. Because as the flower of the grass, he shall pass away. For the sun is no sooner risen with a burning heat, but it withereth the grass, and the flower thereof falleth. And the grace of the fashion of it perisheth. So also shall the rich man fade away in his ways." Now the Bible is telling us here in verse 11 that the flower is going to eventually die. And it's saying the grace of the fashion of it perisheth. Your physical beauty will perish. Whether you get old or whether you die, it will eventually leave you. And it has no benefit. It has no bearing on your life. Don't chase things that are vain. Don't worry about things that are vain. You should worry on being attractive in God's sight. You should worry about being someone that is pleasing to the Lord. All your favor and all your beauty and all your riches will eventually fade away. It doesn't matter. Go if you would to 1 Corinthians 3, last place I'll have you turn. If I'm going to lose those things, if they don't matter, then why spend time on them? A rhetorical question. You shouldn't. Why? It doesn't matter. What's the point of the sermon? I just want you to realize how vain beauty is. It doesn't have any meaning. You know, as men, we should not care. As women, we should not care. And obviously, it's harder for women to not care than men, because of the world that we live in, because of the culture, because of what people will say. But you should care how you look in God's eyes. That's what you should really care about. I'm going to read a few verses before we get there, but it says this: "For we must all appear before the judgment seat of Christ, that everyone may receive the things done in his body according to that he hath done, whether it be good or bad. Knowing therefore the terror of the Lord, we persuade men." There will be a day when every single person in this room that's saved will stand before the judgment seat of Christ, which I believe is most everyone in here. And I hope so. You will stand before the judgment seat of Christ. And you know who's not going to be there? Anybody else to be on your behalf. You will have to take account for the things done in your body, whether good or bad. And I don't want you to stand before Jesus Christ and say, well, I spent all this time on my physical appearance. He's like, why? Beauty is vain. It didn't benefit you anything. Well, I took all these pictures of me on Facebook. Did you see them? Yeah. You have your reward. All those thumbs up. God is going to measure your works one day. So why don't you do works to be seen of Him and not of men? Let me tell you what, physical beauty is only them, not of God. God doesn't care about that physical beauty. And knowing, therefore, the terror of the Lord, we persuade men. I wouldn't want to stand before my boss and he's saying, all right, tell me what you accomplished today. Nothing. But I did post a bunch of selfies on Facebook. I mean, who in here, your boss would be pleased with how many selfies you put on social media? Yet you think Jesus is going to care? You think Jesus is going to care? I mean, how many men in this room, their boss cares about how long you took to get dressed in the morning? And how your hair looks? I mean, unless you work in a service industry, they usually don't care at all what you look like. I mean, you might have to dress according to their dress code. Like, you might have to wear, at least, you know, cover your body or whatever. But outside of that, I mean, they don't really care. And you know what? Jesus Christ is not, I mean, John the Baptist was wearing leather clothes, camel skin. It wasn't a fashion statement. You know why? He didn't care. It didn't matter. 1 Corinthians chapter 3, look at verse number 11. Brother, foundation can no man lay than is laid, which is Jesus Christ. Now, if any man build upon this foundation, gold, silver, precious stones, wood, hay, stubble, every man's work shall be manifest, for the day shall declare it, because it shall be revealed by fire, and the fire shall try every man's work of what sort it is. If any man's work abide, which he hath built thereon, he shall receive a reward. If any man's work shall be burned, he shall suffer loss, but he himself shall be saved, yet so as by fire. You know, there's going to be people that literally stand at the judgment seat of Christ, and on the good and bad, it's all bad. It's all wood, it's all hay, it's all stubble, it's all Maybelline, you know. Just burned up. Maybe it's Maybelline, I don't know. But you know what, it's not the gold, silver, and precious stone of good works. You know, oh, I got this diamond ring, burn up. Oh, I got this soul saved, gold. Hey, I was loving my husband. Hey, I was fearing my husband. I was calling him Lord at home, gold. Hey, I was raising a godly family, gold. Hey, I was trying to be attractive by following your commandments, gold. But here's the question, who do you fear today? Do you fear man or do you fear God? Well, will we be able to tell by your works? Let's close in prayer. Thank you, Father, so much for your word. Thank you for your commandments. Thank you for giving us the option to live by faith and not by sight. Thank you that no matter how we start in life, we always have the same opportunity to serve you. Thank you for giving us an opportunity to follow your commandments and to earn great rewards in heaven. I pray that we'd be heavenly minded and not focused on the world, having the love of the world and the lust thereof and all the deceitfulness of riches and all the vanity that exists in this planet. It's all going to pass away. It's all going to be burned up. And knowing that, I pray that you would just work in men and women's hearts today to motivate us to worry about the things that are eternal and not temporal. In Jesus' name we pray, amen.